There is an endless sea of podcasts about entrepreneurship. Talking about it, but not living it. We live it every day. This is Inside the Wolf's Den, an entrepreneurial journey with Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel, talking about real estate investing, but also encompassing general subjects in regards to owning small to medium-sized businesses, and of course, all the struggles that business owners must overcome to be successful. This is Inside the Wolf's Den, and this is Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel.
Welcome back to Inside the Wolf's Den with your hosts, Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel. Today we have Alicia Jarrett with us, special guest. Hi, Alicia.
Hi, folks. How are we?
We're doing well. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me on. It's an absolute pleasure to be here. I can't wait for our conversation.
Well, we also can't wait for our listeners to get to know you as well. So just a little bit about Alicia. Alicia is a passionate and driven global real estate investor based out of Australia and conducting deals here in the U.S. She has multiple businesses with her partner, including Global Citizens Holding Inc., Land Scouts, and Supercharged Offers. Focused on investing in land and providing business-efficient real estate marketing solutions and world-class data solutions, which assists other real estate people to digitally transform their business for increased results. Alicia is also an experienced leadership executive coach and business management specialist. Alicia has worked with many leaders, including entrepreneurs, business owners, CEOs, executive committees, general management, and emerging leaders, coaching these leaders across elements of career transition, resilience, people strategy, leadership, organizational development. Alicia has a passion for seeing others lead well and succeed in their businesses and teams. This combination of global experience and having an entrepreneurial mindset sees Alicia excel at the building and growing business partnership, providing business and leadership advice, coaching, and enhancing results for others. A truly passionate and people-focused leader who really does love all things real estate and travel. I love that.
Yeah, those are our two passions.
So. It feels weird to hear that out loud sometimes because you go, wow, is that me? But yeah, I'm very passionate about all of those things.
Well, sweet. Well, I mean, what really drew us to you was like, we always have a fascination because like a lot of our listeners, you know, they want to get into real estate. They're thinking about, or just starting a business, but you know, there's so many obstacles to overcome. And these are people that are trying to do it in the US, based here. And what drew us to you is like, you did this, you know, being abroad. Right. And like, you know, that can pretty much throw out every limitation that people have here. You've overcome them. So we want to get, you know, dive into that, find out how you did it, you know, the challenges and anything to look out for other people maybe looking to work abroad or just start their own business. So,
yeah, I mean, definitely. Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about how you got started, your story. We'd love to hear more about you.
Yeah, sure. So in the little bio there that Joni mentioned, it was also mentioning my partner, Matthew or Matt. Mm-hmm. So about, I guess, just to reflect here in Australia, so we've been doing real estate investing here in Australia for probably more than 20 years. We've had rental properties, we've done some fix and flips. So we were, I guess, very keen to explore the global market. And as it was, I went along to one of these presentations that happen all around the world. Here in Australia, it was called the National Achievers Congress. And it's a couple of days where all of these keynote speakers come and talk about businesses all over the world and opportunities. And one of them was about investing in US real estate. And I was like, sounds pretty interesting. So up I walked to the back of the room and signed us up for a course, as happens for a lot of people.
Yes, it's happened to us as well.
Yep. You hear all the messages and all of a sudden you're up out of your seat and you're walking to the back of the room with your credit card thinking, I don't know what I'm doing, but it feels right.
Yeah, could understand that.
So I signed Matt and I up to do a real estate investing course in houses at the time. And I remember coming home and saying to him, so just signed us up for this course. And he was very skeptical because he's the skeptic in the relationship, but a healthy skeptic. So we went along to this course and he said, look, if we get to morning tea on day one and I don't love it, I'm out of here and you can stay. And I was like, okay, fair point. We get to morning tea and I said, what do you think? And he's like, oh my goodness, my mind is just blown as to what the potential of doing real estate in the States is and how restrictive we are here in Australia around some of the things that we can and can't do. So we finished that course. We ended up doing a couple of fix and flips in the States. And yes, wow. We did them remotely. We got some good relationships on the ground over there, put a team in place and did quite a few properties that were mainly in more of the affordable housing space. So finding pretty rundown, terrible properties in not the best streets, but doing them up to the point that you could now put a family in them. And that was something that was pretty passionate to us about affordable housing, because we see that in so many countries in our travels that that there's really is starting to become this divide between what's affordable and what's not. Sure. So we did that, but then our last house broke us, I think. Yeah. It was pretty stressful, our last fix and flip. If it, what do they say with Murphy's Law? If it can go wrong, it will go wrong.
Yeah.
And it did. So it was still a success in the end, but it was pretty stressful. And so just, I guess, through that journey, we just started to explore different asset classes and found our way to land. So for the last, I guess, 3 years now, we've been focused on land wholesaling. Mm-hmm. And as you said, Sean, overcoming all of those obstacles about doing business remotely from another country, you name it, we've come across it and we've worked our way through it. So now Matt has a background in technology. And as you heard from Joni's opening, I've got a background in leadership consulting and training and management. So combined together, we've been able to create a pretty cool business model. So yeah, that's where we are today.
Wow, that's incredible. I'm just sitting here thinking like, how in the world did you guys do that? You know, working from Australia, because I know how hard it is to, you know, fix, to rehab a property in the States.
Yeah. In the city.
In the city. I mean, it's mind-blowing. So, wow, that's incredible.
What challenges did you overcome? Did you flip those or did you keep them as rentals or how did...
We flipped them. Yeah. Yep. It was definitely a fix and flip strategy. And I guess challenges to overcome. The first set of challenges, folks, is really knowing how to set up our business so that we could actually do business in the States.
Right.
So all of those little things around registering your company, getting a bank account, you know, building those key relationships mm-hmm. on the ground. So we actually, for each of the properties we did do a trip over to the States to do that final check, or one of them we took a trip over when we actually bought the property and put the team in place and put the plan in place mm-hmm. and off we went. So overcoming all of those little obstacles to begin with, which everybody has when they're starting a business, mm-hmm. that was just about finding the right people to help us, basically, you know, the right attorney that could help us set up the corporate structure, the right bank person that was willing to get us a bank account open when we got off a plane in LA on one day and went straight to a Chase bank and signed everything up. And we said, we need to walk out with a card in our hand. So, you know, help us there.
Yeah.
The right real estate agent that is still a very good friend and part of our team today, that was helping us to find deals with fix and flips and helping us to manage our team on the ground. So all of those things were obstacles to begin with. But I think the mindset that we have in business is that nothing is insurmountable. Like everything can be overcome if you just look at it through the lens of finding a solution.
Absolutely.
That's awesome. Yeah. I mean, we have an episode on your real estate team
right.
and how key that really is. So I'm sure, you know, and whether you're still doing land today, I mean, it's still, you depend on your team.
Exactly.
Your key members. I'm
totally.
Sure. Yeah.
Once you got that set, then I think, you know, you're off.
I couldn't agree more. And, you know, Joni, you mentioned in the introduction that we now have three businesses mm-hmm. in the States and we've got a team in place in the States. We've got for our supercharged offers business, that's now got like a team of 9 working all around the world on it. Our land business has 4 full-time customer service people, 2 data people that sit behind it, and myself and Matt as well. So we've definitely come a long way, and it's part of that journey is what I've loved the most is learning along that way as well.
Yeah. Do you feel like you have to come to the US to be able to do all that? Or do you feel you could have done it?
Yeah, good question, Sean. In hindsight, I think with all the learnings that we have now, we could definitely have done things 100% remotely. But I think in that initial stage, it was important to go over and build some of those relationships and put those things into place. Mm-hmm. But I guess there's nothing stopping anybody from doing this business from anywhere in the world mm-hmm. if you've got the mindset of working through the issues and finding those solutions. So, I was only speaking to you guys before that Matt and I are looking to move to the States, and we were in the process of doing that last year. And obviously with COVID, that put a spanner in the works, we shall say.
Yeah.
But the main reason that we were looking to move over there is not because we had to, it's because we want to, because we've got so many fantastic relationships and business partners and investors now that we want to be closer to them. So more for that than anything.
Yeah.
Very cool. So now you're focused on investing in land, and that's the business Land Scouts, is that correct?
Correct.
Awesome. Okay, so how did you transition from, you know, fix and flips to land?
Easily. Land is much less stressful than houses, yeah. That's for sure. So I guess the transition wasn't that hard because the basics are still the same. Find properties that are off market, run your numbers, run the analysis and the research, make sure the property fits your investment criteria, get it under contract, and then fix and flip it. Mm-hmm. But the fix and flip part is almost like the fix bit doesn't need
right.
to be done. You're just flipping it.
Yeah.
So we've now got some really fantastic relationships in place with land acquisition specialists, builders and developers that come to us for land. So we go out and find it for them because, as they were saying, you know, I've had some great conversations with one of our builders lately, and he uh-huh. said, you know, we were going out to find land, but now we're competing with so many wholesalers and investors, so we may as well go to the source and get you guys to do it for us. So the transition from houses to land was actually pretty easy because the basics don't change. It's just mm-hmm. a different asset class that you're applying some thinking to.
Are you doing large parcels or are you doing like lots?
We are doing it all, Sean. We do everything from infill lots that are in, you know, in the inner city, inner suburban areas that we can often sell to the neighbor or sell to someone who wants to put a small house in, up to our largest one at the moment that we have on the market is 34 acres. We're finding a real shift in the market right now, particularly over the last few months, where buyers are coming to us and saying, we actually want to move out of the city. Mm-hmm. We want to take our family out to a more rural area that might be, you know, 10 to 20 miles outside of the city, where we can set up a house and have space for our kids to roam. You know, I think if 2020 taught a lot of people anything, it's to treasure the things that are truly important. And we're definitely seeing that shift in our buyers of what they're after, which means that we now need to go and find more properties that meet our buyer criteria. And that's included acreage.
Yeah. I've heard that same trend too, just with COVID, that people are looking for, you know, yet, like you said, the more, you know, just they want to get out of the city, mm-hmm. go get away for the weekend, but not close enough where it's not a, you know, large commute or travel, and then, but
exactly,
you know, and hang out with their family. So yeah, I think that's a great idea. And I think there's opportunity. Have you got into subdividing large parcels and then selling?
We haven't at this point. We've had a few parcels that we've had the opportunity to, but then the right buyer came along at the right price, and it's
made
because
sense.
For us as well, it's all about the velocity of money in this industry, which is, don't hold on to something for the wrong reasons. If the right opportunity comes along and that gives you the right investment opportunity to reuse and recycle and use the velocity of money, then take it. You know, I think sometimes I see in this industry people holding out for too long, mm-hmm. And maybe, you know, thinking too much or going into paralysis of analysis of what they can and can't do with certain properties. Mm-hmm. For us, it's about the throughput and how we keep properties rolling pretty quickly. So going back to your question around subdivision, we've had a couple of properties that we've potentially been able to do that with, but that again costs time and costs money.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. So if that's not the strategy, and I think longer term we'll definitely lean into some of those properties where that may be our strategy, but it's certainly not our strategy at this point in time for the business.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
But I think that's a great one when the right property comes along.
Yeah, and I think I loved your point there because I think that's so true. And you know, it's something Joni and I have done over the years, because we've seen people get stuck, like, you know, they in their mind when they started that flip, they had this number in their head that they thought they should get for that house. And if they don't get it right away, they hang on way too long. And before you know it, like the debt service, everything just, the market can change, you know.
And it can. Yeah. And then you've got to take into account your holding costs. And you still sometimes have holding costs with land, depending upon if you just have it under contract or if you've actually purchased it. So it's no different. And we often, might sound crazy to some people listening, but often the first offer that we get is the best one. And if you can negotiate with that person to a place that you're comfortable, then often that's the best offer, because it means you can cycle the deal through a lot quicker. So yeah, I agree with you guys that analyzing it and thinking and holding on to that dream or that wish too much can actually sometimes hold you back. I agree. Yeah.
Are you doing throughout the whole US, or do you have particular markets you focus on?
Yeah, we've been focused on Florida for our whole time. Okay. And we find that Florida just gives us a huge amount of potential with the deals and the counties that we're in there. So we're in the process of exploring going out to other states, but we haven't needed to yet, which is a really nice thing. But coming back to one of the other businesses that Joni mentioned around supercharged offers, so that's our real estate marketing business that we have set up. We've got a lot of customers using that are doing all types of asset classes. So single family homes, fix and flips, multifamily, mobile home, land. And all of those customers are definitely doing deals in a whole bunch of other areas. So through those customers, we're really seeing the lens of their approach in other states, which is really exciting because it's opened up our level of knowledge of a whole bunch of other areas as well.
Sure. That's so good. Can you explain, tell me more about the supercharged offers? What is that entail? And
I'll start by explaining a little bit more about our journey as to how we got into it, because that's probably a good point to start. So obviously doing this business remotely from Australia, we all go along and, as I said, we ran up to the back of the room and signed up for a training program. And in that training program, even when we got to we signed up for another program to do land later on, even in that program, you get taught the basics, which is great. And some of the basics, I got to say, there's some fantastic educators out there, but some of the basics are pretty archaic in their business practices. You know, ring up the county and go and get a list. hire yourself a virtual assistant to go and cleanse the list. And we were just sort of looking at the ways of doing business and thinking, surely there's got to be some more efficient ways of doing this. And I think with Matt and his technology background and myself and my management background, we were thinking, okay, let's just pause for a moment in our land business and really just take a step back and think about our acquisition model. And when we looked at it, our acquisition model was probably 7 different touch points with different organizations and people and processes, and it all didn't talk to one another and it didn't feed into each other, and it was pretty inefficient. So we started to go, okay, how could we do this differently? How could we build an acquisition model where everything was automated, where the marketing component was almost seamless, and our data was done in a way that we could manipulate the data through a number of different lenses to look at it less about having a list, but more about what do we want the data to do for us and what's the outcome that we need from it. So we built out a model that literally is end to end. We call it our 5Ds model, which is your data, direct mail, digital, which is online ads and making sure that your sales pages and things are fantastic, a dashboard that actually has every seller interaction feed in. And then the last D was done for you, which is making sure that it was a system that could do everything for you pretty much. So we built that purely selfishly for ourselves. Didn't even have a name when we built it. We were just thinking more selfishly about how do we do business more efficiently and more effectively. And we showed it to a few friends in our network and they were like, wow, can you do that for us? So hence Supercharged Offers was born, and here we are 12 months later with over 25 very happy customers that are literally keeping their marketing engine going and their acquisition system going, and they just keep adding data and deals. And now sit back and enjoy the fact that when their phone rings, they just have to close the deal. They don't have to do all these other things up to that. So so it's been really exciting, another part of our business that we're really proud of, and certainly helps people who are not just starting in their real estate journey, but those that are wanting to grow their business or scale what it is that they're doing. So it's been a really good journey, that one.
Wow. So it's really the front end of, or the marketing engine of a real estate investment business.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Right. And the, and do you think it serves, or do you think both, like the small, maybe just starting out, and then maybe the medium size, or where do you find?
Yeah, so we've got a number of different products that we have. Our main product is the entire end-to-end system, where we build out their data pipeline. We build out all of their marketing pages, sales pages, Google ads, Facebook ads, doing online target audiences. So the whole end-to-end piece is our main product. And that's mainly for people, Joni and Sean, who know what they're doing. Mm-hmm. So maybe they've been in the business 6+ months. They've done their training. They know how to manage their deal pipeline, and they're ready to either automate part of their business or automate and grow. Because what we find is a lot of our customers, they say, well, I'm doing 3 to 4 deals a month and I want to increase that to 10. Mm-hmm. We say, well, that's fantastic. But going from 3 deals a month to 10 comes with a whole range of other positive problems with it, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah.
So part of our process when we're onboarding people into it is going through quite a detailed consulting call with them to get them to really think about what does that look like for their business when they're increasing from 3 to 10. Does that mean that they'll need more salespeople? Does it mean that they'll need a CRM that can really cope with the volume of things coming through? Mm-hmm. Does it mean that they need to think about when they get a contract under, how quickly they can turn that contract around and get a property advertised? So all of these things are positive for us. So most of our customers do the full package. And as I said, they tend to be 6 months in or more, or seasoned professionals that are looking to grow or automate. Second part, though, is we do have some of our customers who are starting out that just want help with getting their data and their mailings done. Because they go into overwhelm. We talked a little bit before about paralysis of analysis, mm-hmm. where they've gone and done their training and they've picked their counties, whether it's for houses or mobile homes or land. They've picked their counties and they're super excited, but then they go into overwhelm, which is, oh, where do I go to get a list and how do I know that my data is verified and it's good mm-hmm. quality, and do I print things myself? Do I send it to a mail house? And so we kind of help ease that burden for them early on by literally, we've got a very, very, very effective package where we do all of their data for them. They just point to the county and say, I want to do deals here. Great. We'll go and get you the data. Our team will do a whole range of processes to cleanse that data, get it ready for mailing, verify the data. And then we do all of your mailings for you. And then we put all that into a dashboard so that they can see every single person that they're targeting and that their marketing is being received and it's working. So that just gives them a real kickstart so they can focus more on, I guess, implementing the business side of getting deals and closing those deals.
Well, it's probably the most important part of it, that people, and then especially when people struggle or whatever, that's usually what they cut out. It's like, well, that's what's feeding your business. So without the deals and without the deal flow, there's no other rest of the business. And I think a lot of people miss
totally
it.
Correct, Sean. Yeah. Yeah. And one of the other reasons why we also built out Supercharged Offers is we see a real passion in real estate investing where people will get some deals under contract, even fix and flippers. They'll get the deal, they'll go and do the deal, sell the property, do whatever they need to do. And that takes time and energy. And then they turn back to their pipeline and it's empty because they've been focused on the disposition and not the acquisition. So we say, focus on your disposition and get your deals done. Let us do your acquisition so that's just the engine that keeps on moving.
Right. Sounds like you're really passionate about, helping investors get started. And I want to, if we had a listener that was, maybe just getting started in their real estate career, maybe wanted to do some, land flipping, what advice would you give them?
Yeah, I guess I would share with them some of our learnings that you will have successes and failures along the way. It's all part of the journey. And if you are starting out, just keep putting one foot in front of the other, because the saying that Matt and I have in our business is done is better than not done. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think I should get that printed on a t-shirt.
You really should. That's a great slogan.
Because I just see so many people that try to put one step ahead and then they go, oh no, I don't feel safe about that, or I don't feel confident about that. So they don't do it.
Right.
And what we learned early on is just do things and you will make mistakes. And, you know, if I can share with you a quick story, the first,
yeah,
I've shared with this on a few podcasts and it always makes people laugh and realize that we're all human. the first mailing that we ever did, we sent out about 4,000 mailers,
okay,
to a particular county in Florida. And this was our first one ever. So going back quite a few years, and there was a typo in the phone number.
Oh, wow.
So we were a couple of weeks in, we know that the mail had gone out and we're sitting there going, why haven't we gotten any calls?
Why isn't our phone ringing?
Did we get this really wrong? And then we get this phone call from this absolutely adorable woman who said, I've just worked out that I think you've used my phone number and I'm just calling you guys to see if you've stolen my identity. And we were like, oh my goodness. And so that typo had been going to this poor woman's phone number. Luckily, she was in sales and she was so lovely. Once we'd explained what had happened, she was quite gracious and we had a good laugh about it. And because she was in sales, we said to her, can we just like indirectly employ you for the next month or so to help us handle these deals? And she did. She ended up
pre-qualifying
deals for us. And we sent her and her husband a beautiful gift afterwards and kept in touch for a while. But I guess the moral to the story is you do make mistakes, but it's how you recover from them that really matters.
Absolutely.
So, you know, I guess the other thing I would say is if you're just starting out and you're listening to this, surround yourself with the people that are doing things in the way that you want to do them.
There's a lot of
people out mm-hmm. there that will try and teach you certain ways of doing business that might not work for you. And you'll try and take on advice of lots of people, but always stop and ask yourself, are they doing business in the way that I want to do business? And are they getting the results that I want to get? Because if they're not, then maybe don't listen to their advice.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that's crucial. And especially in this industry, I mean, Joni and I have been in this industry now 21 mm-hmm. years. It doesn't always attract the best people at some, I'm not saying there's very good people in the industry, don't get me wrong, but it also attracts the people that are looking to get rich quick. And that was, and it's yeah. just, it, so I agree 100%. So if you're going to follow somebody or get advice, yeah, I think, like you said, just, you got to look at their character, mm-hmm. look at, is that somebody that I want advice from? So I think that's great.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And surround yourself with those people that are collaborative and open and giving and sharing. But if you're just starting out, I would also say, and we find this at the moment too, I have a lot of people, and I'm sure you folks do too, that contact me and say, hey, can you help me out?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm always willing to help people, but I want them to put it into practice and then pay it forward. Doesn't have to be paying right. it back to me, but pay it forward. Because this is a business where collaboration is really key in my mind.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's so true. Yeah.
How long did you think it took you to get, not necessarily like successful, but like your business started to gain steam, and did it happen quickly, or was it, I guess you had mentioned you had flipped some and then you took a, you know, you had a problem house and then you got into land. How long did you think that learning process and then till your business gained traction, I guess?
Really great question, Sean. I would say our business started to gain traction. If I just focus on the land component, because mm-hmm. that's what we've been doing for the majority, it really started to gain traction a few months in, because people don't respond to marketing straight away. So we might send them a mailer or do an email campaign or do a voicemail campaign, and you don't get responses straight away because mm-hmm. people might not want to sell at that point in time. It might be later on when they get a medical bill, or all of a sudden they're going through a divorce and they think, okay, now I want to get rid of this property. So a couple of months in, we started to see traction on deals, but I do think our learning from a business perspective was probably a good 9 months in.
Yeah.
almost like, you know, if you think about bringing a child into the world, it was almost like we were growing this thing and we needed time for it to, you know, to develop and learn from mistakes and really think about, how do we want to run our business? How do we want our acquisitions pipeline to be, and all the different things in that? How do we want our disposition pipeline to be? And upfront, you don't know that stuff, because until you've done a few deals and really think about the mechanics of how you want your business to run to give you the outcomes. Mm-hmm. You can't do that until you've really got a few deals under your belt, so to say. So I'd say we started getting good deals a few months in, but we probably didn't really know what we were doing until about 9 months in.
And what in your mind, what do you think makes you and Matt, you know, so successful? Like what distinguishes you two from, you know, because there's a lot of people, I always say like the 80-20 rule, I would say like at least 80% of people fail in this industry or don't make it. And to me, it's a lot of, they don't know what they don't know, or they're chasing. Well, it's not easy.
It's not easy. And they think that they're going to, you know, get rich quick. And it's all a learning process. I mean, you fail, you know, at the beginning. And if you get back up and keep going, you know, that's what makes you successful.
Yeah. But for you and Matt, what do you think it is? Yeah.
So I think it is that when we did fail, we picked ourselves up pretty quickly. We dusted ourselves off, and we have the mindset of, okay, what did we learn from that? What can we now do differently as a result when we think about our systems, our process, our mm-hmm. knowledge, and we put that into practice. And we still do that today. And we are by no means perfect. I think, yes, we're starting to get some really great success in our business, but it hasn't been easy. So I think what makes us quite distinctive is every hurdle that we've had, and we've had quite a few, we've just approached it with a positive mindset around, okay, let's attack this and work through it, versus the feeling of defeat that I think a lot of people can often have. So it is a mindset thing. And I also think that our determination for why we're doing this business, you know, we have quite ambitious goals in mind for how we want to live our life, how we want to look after our families, and how we want to experience the world. So we always have those goals in the front of our mind. So that really propels us forward. In terms of how we're different, Sean, you know, or what makes us distinctive, uh-huh. I honestly don't think we're different from anybody else out there. When you think about that 80-20, I would put us in that 20% bracket. If not, I'd actually put us in the top 5%, because we are so experimental in what we do, and we're willing to give things a try that others aren't. We're always pushing the limits mm-hmm. with how we do our business, and mm-hmm. and always trying new things and willing to see if they work or don't work. Whereas I think, so we like to play in the outside of our comfort zone.
Yeah.
I think that top 20%, often they do really, really well, but they get into that comfort zone and they've found their rhythm and they stay there. Yeah. Nothing wrong with that.
Right.
But we've got huge goals that we still always want to keep growing.
Were both of you always
like... Does that answer your question, Sean?
Yes, but I'm asking you another one, because I agree with you 100%. And one thing that Joan and I do in our organization and with our team and Joan and I, we constantly
push
challenge ourselves.
Yeah.
And we believe it's in our core values. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. We
appreciate challenges and the results that...
Of overcoming
them.
So, were you guys always like that, or were both of you had that... Would you say?
Yes, I think we were. So, you know, I've had my own training and consulting practice now for over 10 years. So I've been a business owner for over 10 years, as has Matt. He's had other businesses that he's owned. But even when we were both employed in what I call a J-O-B, which is just over broke, because most people in jobs are always paycheck to paycheck. And we were too. We both had great jobs that paid well. But when you are tied to that idealism of having a monthly paycheck, you tend to kind of live within that. Mm-hmm. But we were both very adventurous with our, I guess we both have an adventurous spirit as well with how we live our lives. Mm-hmm. But equally, we were both very hungry and keen to always learn more and do more. And you know, even when we're in jobs, get promoted and, mm-hmm. and keep moving forward. So I think we've always had that mindset of growth, but when you have your own business, that gets amplified mm-hmm. tenfold.
mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, you guys seem like you have a great partnership, you and Matt. And you know, I know Sean and I work together. You guys are very similar to us. So talk a little about the partnership, how that works, maybe what your unique ability is. And you kind of talked a little bit about that and what Matt's is, but how does that all work?
I had to laugh, Joni, when I was listening to one of your podcasts where you guys were talking about working together for so long and you haven't killed each other yet, but there's been moments.
Right?
Yeah. We're the same. You know, it's tough living together and working together, mm-hmm. but it's it's actually grown our relationship as well, and we've loved it. We found our rhythm in the business. But I will be honest, for those listening, if you are starting a business with your partner, early on, I think it's really important to find your role in the business. Uh-huh. Like, think about your skill sets and what you're good at and how you can contribute to the business. We were both trying to do everything early on, and that didn't work so well.
Same,
so
yeah.
I guess, right. Coming back to our strengths, that I really resonated listening to you both, because I'm the people person. I'm very social and very chatty, as you can tell, and I'm often the one out there building relationships, setting up our team, motivating our team, training our team, going out there and looking at more partnerships with some of our investors, and really just, you know, I
the
love
connector.
The connector.
Yeah, that's
the connector.
Awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. But equally, I think, you know, my skill set has been about operations. Mm-hmm. How do we set up our business and our team to run that efficiently from the people side?
Right.
Matt's skill set is totally different. He likes to be in the background, but he's also one of the most intelligent people I've ever met. His experience and background was actually in technology in transition transformation. So that's taking huge organizations, or even one of them was merging, you know, government systems as well. Merging systems and processes and companies that are, it's a, you know, worth billions of dollars, putting that all together to transition into a new way of working and transform how they do business. Wow. So for anybody listening who has a tech background, you'd understand how complicated that could be when you're doing it on a global scale.
Yeah.
So his understanding of how technology, systems, processes, business efficiency, data, data science, all of those things, he's got a wonderful knowledge of. So he's been hugely instrumental in looking at the back end of our system. So we now have access to every single piece of property data in the United States and the owner attributes that go with that, which is huge. You know, a lot of people still go to a data tree and download a list. We've actually got it all. Wow. So we've been working really, really hard on our back end of our business, and his skill set has been brilliant for that. He's been wonderful at really, even from our CRM, mapping out, you know, how does our system work so that the way that we want to work, the system does that for us. So it's a bit of a match made in heaven when we think about our skill sets and what we're trying to achieve. Yeah,
you really do complement each other really well. Yeah. So,
and we're going to have to talk to Matt about, and you guys both, to help us with our land acquisition.
Right.
So, I mean, you guys are like light.
We can help you, no problem, folks.
So I'm just going to hire you to supercharge our offers and acquisitions.
Let's take that offline and have a chat. Yeah. There's loads of things we can help you out with there.
That'd be awesome.
Got some really fantastic customers doing some pretty incredible things.
That's cool. Yeah, I have no desire to go that direction. I just, yeah, give me the lots, I'll take care of them and build the houses. But yeah, that's awesome. What just a couple last minute questions, but I mean, what habits do you and Matt have that you feel has helped you either succeed in business life or personal life?
Good question. And habits for me are things that you form over the long term. Mm-hmm. So when I think about our habits, we are consistently learning. We're always making sure that we go out and, you know, research things, learn more, look at different ways of doing things and pushing the limits, as Joni said before as well. I think the other habits that we have is that we regularly catch up as a partnership, not just a business partnership. So we spend time together to make sure that our relationship is still very much nurtured, because I think the trap that people can fall into is when you work together, that your relationship becomes about that. So we put habits in place, and I know this is going to sound probably a bit corny to some people, but every night after we have dinner, we go for a walk together and just talk about life,
awesome.
Which has been really instrumental in making sure that we stay connected. Other habits that we have, though, in our business is, as I said, the consistent learning, doing things like journaling and listening to other podcasts, surrounding ourselves with the right people, with our networks and our contacts. And, I think that's probably all I'd say around habits, to be honest. It's staying
awesome.
Connected and, yeah.
You seem really great on the relationship, building the relationship, taking that time, the walk, especially last year.
Mm-hmm.
I think so many people needed that and just, you know.
Oh, yes.
working on it. But I know you guys travel a lot, and Joanna.
Well, you did travel a lot. Probably not so much anymore.
Any place that you would love to go back to? I always ask this to people that travel a lot. It's amazing. But I want to go to Australia. That's one of my big lists of places. But
come on over. We'll show you around. When we can travel again, obviously our first place will be the States because we miss a lot of our friends over there and we really want to get back over and see them. But I've got some favorite places around the world that I always like to go back to. So Italy is one of my favorites and so is Croatia. Interestingly enough, one of the deals, talk about doing business from anywhere in the world. When we were doing our houses, we were on a yacht in the middle of the ocean in Croatia and we bought and sold a property from a yacht.
Wow.
So if you can do it from a yacht in the middle of the ocean, you can do it from anywhere.
I'm going to be hanging out with you more.
But we're also, we haven't been skiing in a few years either and we love the snow. So I'd love to go back to Switzerland and go and do some skiing too. So I just can't wait for things to open back up to go back to normal.
Yes.
So Italy is one of our favorites as well. So I proposed to Joni in Venice on a gondola.
And So
it was, we want to go back.
It's hard to beat that one.
Yeah. In a couple of years, our 20th is coming up in 2 more years. Mm-hmm. So I think so we want to go back. So, but
anyway. Italy is beautiful.
Oh, it's awesome.
It's got such a beautiful soul to it, I think, with how they live and their culture and their family values. It's got, and the food and the wine, I mean.
Yeah, it's awesome. So
it's been amazing to like get to hear your story, Alicia. I'm just blown away by your story, what you've done. For any of our listeners out there, I mean, how do they get involved with you?
Oh, thanks so much, Joni. I appreciate that comment. And I think sometimes we that's probably one of our other habits, by the way, folks, if I can just add that in. We do deliberately pause and reflect regularly. So every couple of weeks, Matt and I will have a conversation about how far have we come, because sometimes we're so focused on forward that you don't stop to look back and go, wow, look at everything we've achieved so far. And I think that's really important. Even doing your first deal, stop and celebrate that.
Right. Celebrate the little wins. Yeah, for sure. Yes, I love that.
Yes, exactly. But how people can get in touch with us, we'd love to hear from anybody who would love to know more about Supercharged Offers and what we're doing to really help those doing any kind of real estate asset class and how we help people build an acquisition model. You can go on to superchargedoffers.com. On there, you're able to download a free business growth plan, which is a very comprehensive plan on what to think through when it comes to your acquisition business and how to build out not only a business strategy, but a marketing strategy that helps meet your goals. And I actually had a very seasoned professional, David, who joined us a couple of weeks ago. He's been doing real estate for more than 30 years. And he went through the guide and he said, there's even things in here that I haven't thought about that have really made him stop and assess his business, which is great. So jump onto superchargedoffers.com and download that free guide. You can email me anytime. So it's Alicia, which is A-L-I-C-I-A at superchargedoffers.com, or give our team a call. We've got a sales team ready to take your call on 888-538-5478, and we're happy to speak to anybody. Even we do a free 1 hour consulting call with them too, where we can take them through our products and really talk through what their plans and goals are for their business and give them some advice on, okay, if you do want to get to 10 deals a month or 20 deals a month, whatever it is for you, here's some things that you might want to think about. So we're more than happy to do a free consulting call with them on that as well.
That's awesome. Are you doing coaching, a little bit of coaching with that, or is it part of the package, or?
I keep getting asked to do coaching and because I do my previous business is obviously in leadership development and coaching. So I can coach, but it's not something that I really want to spend my time on. What we do is set up their systems and processes and do like an onboarding call, and we give them all the tools and processes to be successful. Then our sales manager every 2 weeks, once people are up and running with their Supercharged Offers campaign, every 2 weeks, she has a check-in call just to make sure they're knowing what they're doing. But outside of that, I mean, I'm the kind of person that will always want to help people. Yeah. So I do often get on calls and help people through things. And, you know, I think that's just part of my nature, but I don't charge them for it.
That's great. So for all our listeners listening in, superchargedoffers.com. I know we're going to put Sean's going to be on there talking to you offline. I know that. So if you're just starting out or if you're a seasoned investor, I mean, a brilliant. I love your story.
Yeah. So again,
thank you so much, Johnny and Sean.
So superchargedoffers.com, download that free, no excuses business growth plan. And Alicia, we enjoyed having you. We would love to get to know you more. So hopefully we'll see you when you're ready to come to Texas again. We'd love to have you stop in Houston.
We'd love that. Yeah. We'd really love that, guys. And you know, it's all about these long-term relationships. And it's been an absolute pleasure speaking with you both today. Thank you for letting me share my story. And I hope that your listeners have found that valuable.
Awesome. So listeners, share this, like it, and leave us a review. Otherwise, we'll see you next week.
You've been listening to Inside the Wolf's Den, an entrepreneurial journey with Sean and Joni Wolfswinkle. Tons of entrepreneurial podcasts are out there talking.
Talking.
But Joni and Sean are living it every single day. Their portfolio now includes many franchises and medium-sized businesses. We talk about the trials and motivators of successfully running a business. Join us again soon for another podcast. But until then, reach out on the website at InsideTheWolf'sDen.com, on Facebook at Inside the Wolf's Den, on Instagram at Inside the Wolf Den. We'll see you again soon. This is Inside the Wolf's Den. We'll see you next time.